Well, hi, friends, again. Got to get my chronometer going. I always seem to forget something right. But now it's going. So I can be close to that 1 hour time, which makes the programs more useful. Well, all right. We've dealt with rule number three in the way we've dealt with it. And now we move on to rule number four, which is longer in its explanation, about 33 pages here. We're beginning on page 122. And here's the rule. Sound, light, vibration, and the form blend and merge, and thus the work is one. It proceedeth under the law, and naught can hinder now the work from going forward. The man breathes deeply, he concentrates his forces, and drives the thought form from him. This is the magical process, and as I said, somehow in A Treatise on White Magic, there's more concentration on the magical process itself, and less on what it means for the disciple submitting himself to the magical work of the soul. So I would recommend, you know, I've written out my interpretation of these things in the written portion of the commentary on A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, and you can find that on Makara. And we'll see whether I do any video work on that particular series, but I think that since it's already written out, it should serve you. And here, perhaps we have intermittent focus on the magical process of the magician creator, and more on the process whereby the soul is creating a worthy instrument through a magical process. We're going to deal with the creative work of sound and the science of the breath. And this takes us to page 125. But before we go further, I have to have my bracket. All right. Now we can proceed. Before centering our attention upon this rule, it would be well to recollect certain things so that our reflection on the rule may proceed with profit. First, the rule we are at present considering concerns work on the mental plane, and before such work is possible, it is important to have a developed mind, a well-nurtured intelligence. Perhaps the intelligence is still more penetrating. The word intellect sometimes involves the idea of intuition. And also to have achieved some measure of mind control. So these are the requirements, and well, usually the people who are entirely mystically oriented will not persist with Master DK because there is just too much that he gives that does require the development of the mind and over time the well-nurtured intelligence and the ability to quiet the modifications of the versatile psychic nature, the versatile mental nature. And so he says it, you know, and after all, the Arcane School was intended to be a school for disciples, and not, you know, beginners. He says these rules are not for beginners in the occult sciences. They are for those who are ready for magical work and for labor on the plane of mind. And we might say that even so, they are not completely explained. Only so much is given to us, and mostly of an intellectual nature. Love is the great unifier, the prime attractive impulse, cosmic and microcosmic, i.e. beyond our solar system and within the energy system of man, but the mind is the main creative factor and the utilizer of the energies of the cosmos. Our throat center is that through which our mind primarily works also. There is work through the Ajna center, let us say, and in that part of the head that relates to the mind. But let's just say in this creativity, the third ray and the seventh ray are involved, and both are creative rays. The seventh ray is considered, according to the Tibetan, one of the practically artistic rays, along with the fourth. And the third ray, given the name, he prefers the ray of creative intelligence, not just the ray of activity, the ray of abstract mind, etc. Love, now he goes on with the differentiation between love and mind that he did so thoroughly just a little while ago, showing us all of the divisions which mind tends to make and which love tries to unify or reunify. Love attracts, but the mind attracts, repels, and coordinates. So its potency is inconceivable. Well, we certainly have interests. Deep interests are an example. Our deep interests are an example. Of the attractive power of the mind. Interest, of course, it's also been said that was it Thomas Mann, the German novelist who said that, I'll just paraphrase really, that's all I can do, that interest is another name for love. Is it not possible dimly to sense a state of affairs in mental realms analogous to that now seen in emotional? Let's see what he means. Can we picture the condition of the world when the intellect is as potent and as compelling as is the emotional at this time, because the emotional nature will not organize and will not of its own follow the indications of the divine plan? Is it possible? Yes, well, maybe during the age of Aquarius, or maybe during the 25,000-year age, Aquarius being such a mental sign, conveying the fifth ray, its given ray, perhaps this will come about. Can we picture a condition of the world in which the intellect is as potent and as compelling as is the emotional nature at this time? The race is progressing into an era wherein men will function as minds. Well, you know, we divorce ourselves somewhat from the blend of Kama and Manas. We call Kama Manas, which is the psycho-mental state of so many people, when intelligence will be stronger than desire, and when thought powers will be used for appeal. Well, let's see. Invocation, and also to appeal to the will of one's fellow human beings, and for the guidance of the world, as now physical and emotional means are employed. We will have transcended the period of demagoguery. Okay, it is. I'm glad that one corrected itself. If I was in a spelling bee, I wouldn't really know how to deal with it. So, and we as disciples in the making have to learn to function as soul-infused minds, right? So we as disciples in process must learn to function as S-L-I-N, S-L-I-N-F, soul, S-L-I-N-D. Let's try, you know, I get, okay, it's not going to work for me. S-L-I-N-F-D. Okay, soul infused. That's it. S-L-I-N-F-D, minds. We have to have the mind held steady in the light of the soul, and we will certainly see differently than those who are prompted purely by selfish desire and by the mind's, lower mind's acquiescence to selfish desire, trying to find ways to bring that desire to fruition. It's a different use of the mind altogether. It's related to Scorpio, to lower and higher Mercurian functions. There lies in this thought a profoundly necessary incentive for a right understanding of the laws of thought. Some in the 15 counsels that he gives us in this book, actually on page 473 and 4, and a correct instruction to be given of the use of mental matter and the building of that matter into thought forms. There lies in this thought incentive for a right understanding of the laws of thought, correct instruction to be given of the use of mental matter and the building of that matter into thought forms. So, well, the soul is the thinker, and we must finally become the thinker. Right now we're some kind of mixture between the feeler and the thinker. You know, so many human beings are Kama, Manasic. It's a fusion. Was the fusion intended? I'm not sure, but it has resulted. And there are some maybe who come from a previous system or chain who are more along the line of concrete thinkers. And they are more objective when it comes to the promptings of the emotional body and the promptings of desire. Okay. These rules concern themselves with this information. You know, by the way, I just want to turn to Treatise on White Magic, just around page 474. And 473 really began, the very first injunction, view the world of thought and separate the false out of the true. Number two, learn the meaning of illusion and in its midst locate the golden thread of truth. We see that this is teaching people how to think. Now we have to control the body of emotion, yes. And then number four, discover that thou hast a mind and learn its dual use. The one use is creative with respect to the environment, and the other is receptive with respect to the higher worlds. Concentrate the thinking principle and be master of thy mental world. Learn that the thinker and his thought and that which is the means of thought are diverse in their nature, yet one in ultimate reality. All of this is about the mind, isn't it? Act as the thinker and learn it is not right to prostitute thy thought to the base use of separative desire. You know, how to acquire that which the desire body wants and the instincts prompt towards. The energy of thought is for the good of all and for the furtherance of the plan of God. Use it not, therefore, for thy selfish ends, I think is the word, selfish ends. Before a thought form is by thee constructed, vision its purpose, ascertain its goal, and verify its motive. So those first nine concentrate very much on the power of thought and the subduing of emotion, and later, the cleansing of the atmosphere of thought is coming in here, and it becomes more about how we speak under the prompting of negative states and under the prompting of thought, etc. Well, anyway, so 473 and 474, you know, what do I say? Go there because and memorize them. I did. Of course, they're probably gone now because, you know, if you don't keep those memorizations polished, either use it or lose it. They do fade away, you know. But anyway, the laws of thought. Well, sometimes those who engage in the work of logic have something called the laws of thought, but it's a different approach. It's an entirely third-ray approach. I think there's a book called The Laws of Thought by a logician, mathematician of the 19th century. Boole was his name, and there were all kinds of extensions of thought that he put forward. And he was studied by Einstein and others. But we're talking about a practical sort of second-ray approach which promotes right human relations. We're not talking about, at this point, extension into the abstract mind where many of the third-ray philosophers and mathematicians focus their efforts. So, we need a correct instruction on the use of the mental body, and we are responsible as the thinker, that's what we essentially are and have to discover it, to use the lower mind in the right way under the impulse of the higher mind. And then to continue on with the building of our thought forms into material forms. First thought forms, and then through the magical process, the building into material forms, either in the slow and laborious way of the modern human being, or knowing the laws of magic and of sound in a more magical manner, which doesn't, you know, involves the hand of the mind, you might say, Mercury. So these rules concern themselves with this information about thought and learning how to work in mental matter, learning truly how to work in mental matter. The second necessary, I guess, this is the first recollection. Can we say that? Let's go back here and see where we have started. You know, we've started with work upon the mental plane. And a true white magician must be mentally polarized. And this means that, you know, a true white magician is not going to be found until the second initiation is taken, and probably not until the third initiation is taken, because, as we know, mental polarization occurs at the midway point between the second and third initiation. So we may have an interest in magic and so forth, but we're not really equipped to perform white magic, I think, until we have overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil in that austere state that we call the desert, you know. Christ, working through Jesus, may have taken himself into the desert after the baptism. But what does the desert signify? You know, it's a state of retiring, abstracted, and alone, where one deals with one's own inner motives. So here's the first recollection, work on the plane of mind. The second necessary recollection is that the worker in magic and the potent entity wielding these forces must be the soul, the spiritual man. Now, you know, who are we, really? And we certainly do discover that ultimately we are the soul, we are the spiritual man, and our identification with the instrument has been a necessary and very long mistake when ultimately considered. So we have to identify as the soul, the spiritual man, and increasingly as the soul or angel of the presence nurtures that extension of consciousness which we are from the monad, nurtures that extension which is focused within the worlds of the personality. We become more and more identified as the spiritual man, and when the sustainment of the egoic lotus wends its way back to the heart of the sun, or even the central spiritual sun, we are introduced, you know, before that, by the angel of the presence to the monad itself and realize our true origin. But anyway, the soul has to wield these forces. Why? Why? For the following reasons. Only the soul has a direct and clear understanding of the creative purpose of the plan. So this is the man supported by the knowledgeable presence of the soul or angel of the presence. I kind of, try to combine them. The angel of the presence, I think, it expresses as much of the solar angel as is necessary to sustain the vehicle of man's consciousness on the higher mental plane. Only the soul has direct and clear understanding of the creative purpose of the plan. I mean, let's just say solar angel is a great initiate. Having been a man in a previous solar system, and now something much higher, having been trained apparently on Sirius, where the rays to be used by the solar angel, at least in this solar system, the second and the fifth, are part and parcel of the Sirian Logos, a very strong part of the Sirian Logos. Only, and on point number two, you know, why is it that the worker in magic and the potent entity which wields the forces must be the soul? And let's just say this is the worker in white magic. Okay. Point number two, only the soul whose nature is intelligent love, note the fifth and second rays, can be trusted with the knowledge, the symbols, and the formulas which are necessary to the conditioning of the magical work. So if we have ascended to identification as a soul, we can be trusted. And we think of ourselves then as a blend of our own consciousness emanated from the monad and that which the solar angel of the presence provides. Two different kinds of consciousness fuse into one. Fuse into one, yes. That of the monad in extension, which we are, and that of the solar angel of the presence. So, the soul must wield because the soul can be trusted with these knowledges, the symbols and formulas, which falling into the wrong hands could severely compromise the divine plan. Only the soul has the power to work in all three worlds at once and yet remain detached and therefore karmically free from the results of such work. So, this references man as a soul. And, of course, the solar angel, angel of the presence, can work in this manner. The human being must learn so to work. And this means identification as a soul. Okay. Have we yet the power to work in all these three worlds at once? Maybe as an integrated personality? More and more we do. Can we keep detached ourselves as the injunctions to the mentor of others suggests? You know, we have to keep detached from the feeling nature and the mental nature of another, but blend with thy brother's soul. So more and more we have that kind of, paradoxical attached detachment. Detached attachment. Okay. We learn to work as a soul. This is what this is all about. We learn to work as a soul. All right, the fourth point. Only the soul is truly group conscious and actuated by pure unselfish love, or pure unselfish purpose. When our consciousness ascends to the second subplane of the higher mental plane, we have achieved this. And that the city of that plane is response to group vibration. So in order to work with the personality, we have to realize that the soul is group conscious. The personality does not stand alone, and the many are working towards one objective. So the potent energy wielding these forces must be the soul or spiritual man, which we are, essentially, and which we must consciously become. We, the soul in incarnation, must become the soul or spiritual man on its own plane. No trouble being the soul in incarnation, but when we are, we're often identified with the personality states, and we have to abstract ourselves and in contemplation merge with the soul and realize ourselves as the soul. You know, all in all, there is only one consciousness in cosmos. Now, this many layers have to be peeled away, tendencies towards identification with external parts rather than wholeness have to be recognized. These tendencies have to be recognized. So why must it be the soul that wields these forces? Or the spiritual man? Because, you know, we can think of ourselves also as the spiritual triad, and one day we become as much the spiritual triad as we succeeded in becoming the soul. First we identify as the personality, then as the soul on the higher mental plane, and then as the spiritual triad on the planes of Atma, Buddhi, and the highest Manas. And finally, we re-become in full consciousness the monad, and then go on to greater and greater states of identification. So why the soul? It has the necessary understanding. The soul has intelligent love and can be trusted with the symbols and formulas necessary for the correct execution and conditioning of the magical work. You know, always we're asking why the soul, why the soul, why must be as a soul or be the soul in order to be the true magician, who in a way is the transformer of the little macrocosm, the human personality. Only the soul can work in all three worlds at once and remain detached, because it's not identified with anything in the three worlds. You know, DK said to us that there's a lot of people appearing today who have, after all their studies and suffering and meditations and all that, who have less tendency to identify with the tangible world and are here simply to serve and not for what they can acquire from the tangible material world. So we ask ourselves questions, you know, do I have intelligent love, and can I be trusted with these symbols and formulas? To what extent do I have that clear understanding of the creative purpose and of the plan? Can I work at all the three worlds simultaneously? Number four, only the soul is truly group conscious and actuated by pure, unselfish purpose. As personalities, we're learning through soul infusion, but we may not yet have truly group conscious consciousness, group conscious consciousness, and be actuated by pure, unselfish purpose. We still are sufficiently identified with the personality that we sometimes follow its purposes as if they were important. And then only the soul with the open eye vision can see the end from the beginning and hold in steadiness the true picture of the ultimate consummation. You know, DK is always giving us a little bit of wisdom here and there, little fragments of wisdom, but we ourselves have to come to the place where we can, in a purposeful manner, see the end from the beginning. Purpose is all about that. The divine plan perhaps goes by phases and does not see the end from the beginning, but purpose is both the beginning and the end, and the plan will lead us to an appreciation of that purpose. Only the soul with the open eye of vision, and we can ask, is this the eye of the soul? All right. Looks like another one that we can benefit from. Get rid of that. And go there and get rid of that. And we'll turn eye of the soul. And we will put it in quotations, eye of the soul. It's not exactly the same as the third eye. DK makes a distinction there. And at some point, I think it's in Dyna 2, you know, we'll have to review that. I think a reviewing of the Dyna books is very, very necessary. My colleague, Elena Gramcini, is doing a fantastic astrological job of reviewing these disciples. A life work, you might say. All right, so let's see, what do we have here? Eye of the soul. Only the soul with the open eye of vision, the eye of Shiva or the eye of the soul, probably distinct from each other in a way, but both see what the personality cannot see, can see the end from the beginning and can hold in steadiness the true picture of the ultimate consummation. It, you know, and we might say it really helps to know where we are going. This will prevent those derailments which so often afflict the individual disciple. I mean, really, as you read Dyna 1, you know, not to make fun, but it's almost laughable the kinds of things that people fall into until we realize that we easily could fall into the same. So, what have we just done? We have looked at the reason why it must be the soul or spiritual man who wields the forces. because of the kind of understanding it has, because it has intelligent love, because it can work in all three worlds simultaneously, because it is group conscious and actuated by pure unselfish purpose, and because of its relationship to any project, seeing the end from the beginning. So practical, isn't it? You know, and one day we will all be magical workers. Any member of hierarchy is both an esoteric psychologist and a white magician. Some may specialize in these fields according to their experience and ray inclination, but all have a sufficient amount of experience and acquirement in these two disciplines. You ask whether workers in the Black Lodge possess not an equal power. And he says no, although they can be more effective on the physical plane because they are more attuned to this very material deva, which great, grand, extensive deva, which includes the material plane. So their presentations often work out first, as they did in relation to Nazi Germany and fascism of Italy and the, the attempt to reclaim the ancient samurai abilities and status in Japan. The negative works out first. And then the positive, if it doesn't respond too slowly, you know, there was that tendency not to get involved and to respond too slowly. The positive part, if it doesn't respond too slowly, will gradually overtake that which has been prematurely demonstrated. I'm thinking about Germany and its aggressions. Of course, Italy had its aggressions too. These are fire sign countries, in part, with Italy, Leo Sol and Sagittarius personality, with Germany, Aries soul, plunging in rapidly and making extremely rapid progress over its enemies, but then not having the ability to hold those gains. So he says, no, the Black Lodge does not have an equal power. They can work in the three worlds, but they work from and in the plane of mind, and let's just say, especially lower mind. They work in and from the plane of mind and do not function, therefore, outside their field of endeavor, as does the soul with its expansive and identificatory nature. They can achieve from their proximity and identification with their working materials, yes, results more potent temporarily, note that. As I was saying, you know, it's appalling what the negative side can demonstrate. We see it even today as there is apparently a successful attempt to undo democratic principles which have abided long and have been won through much blood, sweat, and tears. But it cannot last. And one of our fired officials from the FBI said that the weasels cannot hold the field. The weasels and the liars, was it? There was another word, but the word weasels struck me. It's a very, you know, third-ray kind of word, and it uses manipulation, but it cannot be upright like the first and seventh ray. So they identify with their working materials, the Black Lodge members do, and they can have results more potent temporarily and more rapid in accomplishment than the worker in the White Brotherhood. Because they, after all, work with the third ray and the first ray, but not the second, usually. He has told us about, you know, the deluder of souls, as the man conquered by his own dweller and who's working on the second ray, but usually it's the manipulator of souls or the destroyer of souls on the third and first ray, respectively. So they bring forth their objectives rapidly, but the results are ephemeral. They carry destruction and disaster in their wake, and the black magician is eventually submerged in the resulting cataclysm. And that's just the beginning of the suffering, you know, which ends in the sense of being excluded from the beauty of the divine plan, which is working out through the sphere in which the black magician was practicing his arts and sciences. And he realizes, you know, he'll have to start all over again at great pain and delay. Let us therefore remember the necessity of a correct use of the mind, and at the same time, let us ever hold a position beyond and detached from the creative work of our minds, desires, and physical accomplishments, to tread upon the work I do, to mount upon my slain self. Well, all things in good balance, poise, proportion, all of these are factors in true harmlessness. When we give undue emphasis to any one particular energy, we upset the economy of life and create a form which will self-destruct and bring to naught those who relied upon the form. So, the correct use of the mind. And as I pointed out, page 473, 474 has some important things to say about this. Right. So we've seen five reasons why it must be the soul or the soul incarnation identified as the soul on its own plane. You know, let's just say the wielder must be the soul in incarnation. Soul and incarnation abstracted from the personality surroundings and identified as the soul on its own plane. So the wielder must be the soul and incarnation abstracted from the personality surroundings and identified as the soul on its own plane. I mean, eventually we are the great wholeness. We've had a restrictive emanative extension, into heavier and heavier prakriti, matter of a lower vibratory frequency, and we've been more and more circumscripted, but there is emanative retraction. You know, probably the great students of emanation were the Gnostics, but if you really look closely at the Buddhist Tankas from the pre-Christian era, you will see emanation powerfully accented. So, four words, let's go on. Four words stand as one considers rule four. He's giving us some ways of thinking. You know, he gives us these mnemonics, you know, the five D's, he'll give us individualization, initiation, identification, three eyes, you know. When we think in groups that are characterized by the same starting letter, it's simply easier to understand. So four words stand forth as one considers rule four. First, sound. The formula or word of power which the soul communicates and so starts to work. A dual word, or word of power. This word is dual, it is sounded forth on the note to which the soul responds, his peculiar note. It is sounded forth on the note to which the soul responds, his own peculiar note, blended with that of the personality. It's not only the soul color and personality color that are blended, but the soul sound and personality sound are blended. An interval is created. An interval of color and an interval of sound are created. But even two notes are kind of considered a chord, but in music we call it an interval, a sounding interval. This chord of two notes is the producer of the resulting effects and is more important than the set phrase composing the word of power. What is the note to which our soul responds? If we're a first-rate soul, we might respond to the D, a second-rate soul to the G, a third-rate soul to the F, a fourth-rate soul to the E, a fifth-rate soul to the A, then the sixth-rate soul is a little difficult, but some say it responds to a red Martian note, the C, and the seventh-rate soul to the B, the violet note, which is the leading tone to the next octave. Well, I don't think it's a coincidence that our octave is divided usually into seven parts before the octave note is reached, which is twice the frequency, if we're ascending, than the original octave note where the scale began. But, of course, you know, in music you can divide octaves in many different parts, and there are such things as quarter tones and other methods of division. So, but we're speaking of the usual cases and not the specialized cases. So sound of the formula or the word of power. Now this is, I just want to make this a little bigger. Yeah, the word of power, which the soul communicates and so starts his work. We just, the occult power of sound is extraordinary. And let's see, how does this go? This is 20. And let's see, I think it's because... Okay. Sound of forming the word of power which the soul communicates to start the work. I just want to bring this down a little bit. I got carried away here. And let's see how big that one is. That's 26. So let's go down, down, and down. There we go. This word is dual. And it is, you know, we need to know, and sometimes I think it's possible to use the voice in such a way that you can sound two notes at the same time. There are those who have that ability. And the question is, can they sound the two notes that are indicated? Or must this be done instrumentally? Or must it be done in a choir, let us say, that serves the individual member by dividing its sounding into two notes, until everyone has the experience of getting the necessary resulting effects, and is more important than the set phrase composing the two words. So the power of sound through music is very effective, and we realize that the Pythagorean school required that those entering it have some proficiency in both mathematics and music. Now, you know, Master KH is behind much of the new esoteric school movement, and Master DK is his disciple, and I wouldn't be at all surprised that music and mathematics are again taught, you know, in a higher turn of the spiral, as we have ways now of conveying music that they didn't have in those days at Crotona. So anyway, not just the meaning, but the sound itself. Herein lies the problem, to sound these two notes synchronously and with the mind focused. Okay, it can be done. There are ways that two notes, according to partials, harmonics, can be sounded. See, so in the harmonic series of partials, two notes can be sounded simultaneously. I used to be able to do it. I won't, you know, embarrass myself and you by making an attempt right now. As you get older, you know, your voice kind of goes away. But it is possible to have a pedal tone and then move the harmonic around according to the resonant chambers within the head. But as I say, if we have a group of people who can sing, they can help the individual. But maybe it doesn't take the place of sounding the two simultaneously, if they can be sounded, if they're in the harmonic series. Herein lies a clue to the significance of the AUM or OM. In the early stages of meditation work, the word is sounded audibly, whilst later it is sounded inaudibly, and we have to hear the interval. Now, I suppose, you know, if you stand by a piano and you play the interval externally a number of times and stop playing it, the interval will continue to sound within your mind, and maybe you can produce it. That's the third, having to do with the fourth ray. And if you alternate very rapidly between the two notes, before long they can present themselves as a kind of simultaneous sounding. Anyway, this training in the sounding of the AUM is, for those who use it, an unconscious preparation for the dual work of spiritual creation. You know, being evoking the soul and personality simultaneously. Now, this can also be done with the soul note and the monadic note. We have a lot of experimentation to do here. The fourth ray is coming in strongly from its monadic aspect, we are told, in 2025. And that's a hint, too, you know, telling us that we don't only have a possibility of three monadic rays, but the fourth ray is outside the series of 1, 2, 3. And there can be fourth ray monads, and especially on the monadic plane, there are seven circles found there. So, the AUM is an unconscious preparation for the dual work of spiritual creation, and facility comes as the attentive aspirant accustoms himself to hear within his brain the soundless sound of Om. Well, it's soundless from an external point of view. But it sounds in the imagination, it sounds inwardly and accurately. So we move from crudity to crude circumstances to more subtle. Yeah, we move into the more subtle circumstances. So, you know, one can practice this. One has to. I find as I do this, tiny little adjustments occur in the larynx. But even that shows it's too connected with the outer form. The simultaneous sounding has to occur with no response within the dense physical mechanism. So maybe in the music as taught in the new esoteric schools, intervals will be heard internally. And being heard, they will have an effect. And the effect will be, one effect will be the uniting, one effect, the uniting of the soul and personality, and a later effect, the uniting of the monad and soul-infused soul-infused personality. Soul-infused personality. There we go. Right. Now, and it's, you know, it's possible even great musicians can hear many things, and possible to hear a chord of three notes as well. And for the most part, we're going to need three notes to represent the presence of the monad, soul, and personality. Although, you know, sometimes the monadic ray and the soul ray may be the same. And sometimes the monadic ray and the personality ray, and sometimes later, the personality ray and the soul ray will be the same, as is the case given in the integration formulas for ray one. I would suggest here that students accustom themselves to working in this manner, sounding the word audibly and with as much frequency at the close, of the morning meditation, but emphasizing in the early part that close attention to the inaudible hearing, which will develop the sensitivity of the inner ear, the etheric ear. Okay, so it's an etheric phenomenon, this reverberation. If I say, Om, and I'm hearing now the reverberation, I'm hearing through my imagination, or maybe it's some etheric mechanism, a memory, a reproduction of that outer sound. So we're always moving into more subtle areas. Later, when the personal note or sound is established, integrated personality, and the inner sound is sensed, there can be a definite blending of the two. How they do want me to buy that. Okay. This entails the closest attention and the power to perform two activities simultaneously with a mental attitude of attention to both. He's always telling us learn how to do more than one thing at the same time, and this means learn how to perform an inner and outer activity simultaneously. Now, sometimes I give people a chance to do this during the full moons. In other words, I say to them, okay, now, sound the Om, but at the same time repeat inwardly to yourself. It's not a musical repetition, but a verbal repetition. I see the greatest light. So, you know, I might choose this G note, and while I'm singing the G note, I'm going to be saying inwardly to myself, I see the greatest light. And maybe I could hear a dual sound. In my own case, maybe G and E, you know, with G of the soul. Dum, 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 dum. Hopefully not too dumb. Well, I can't sound two notes externally yet, but if I work out the partials and harmonic series, I might be able to do it. And then also in here inwardly, I see the greatest light. I mean, just imagine the God of our planet. How many things does the God of our planet do simultaneously? He's everywhere, you know, working simultaneously. S-I-M-U-L-T-A-N-E, simultaneously. All right. So great beings are doing many things simultaneously, and we little human beings are just learning to do it. Okay, now this will be then the end of A Treatise on White Magic, number 29, rule 4.1. And pages 122, did I remember that properly? I hope so, to 127. And then the beginning of A Treatise on White Magic, number 30. Rule four. Oh, come back, come back, come back. Oh, I hate that. Let's see if I can go back there. Beginning a treatise on white magic, number 30, rule 4.2, and beginning on page 127. Well, this is a long book, you know. It has some 700-something pages in it. Not quite as long as a treatise on cosmic fire, but long. And it'll be a while before we can complete, but then, you know, there's so much to study, isn't there? And I certainly would recommend that you study not only on your own, but in dialogue and conversation with others, so to add a pool of group thought also to the kind of thought that I am suggesting, which perhaps will prove useful. Okay, friends, we'll be seeing you for number 30. When it becomes possible to do that. All the best, and, you know, keep studying and meditating and serving, of course, of course.